From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. We'll have open lines for you this hour. And the next hour, we'll roll in Joseph Jacobs, intuitive psychic, fate versus self-determination. We'll also look at some of Joseph's past predictions and some of his new ones. And then we'll let you chime in as well. Well, Election Tuesday it is. Democrats will take control of the House of Representatives for the first time since 1994. And Democratic challengers have also picked up three seats in the Senate. Now, they would need to win three of four competitive races where winners have not really been projected yet to win control of the chamber. The results are still too close to call in Missouri, Montana, Tennessee, and Virginia. The Democrats will have a net gain of at least 15 seats to take to the House when all votes are counted. You know, I think it's healthy for a country to have these major parties, one control the House, one control the Senate. And definitely, I do not believe a president should have a blank check with control of the House and the Senate. So I think what's beginning to happen now is very healthy for America. Iran has called on Iraq to carry out its death sentence on Saddam Hussein, saying that the former dictator who waged an 8-year war against Iran in the 1980s was a criminal who deserved to die. On Sunday, an Iraqi court in Baghdad sentenced Saddam and two other senior members of his ousted regime to death by hanging for crimes against humanity for the killing of 148 people. In Salt Lake City, a man was sentenced to 6 months in jail for putting his wife's puppy in a 200-degree oven, burning the dog, permanently damaging its paws. The district judge out there sent Mark Vincent to jail without any chance of early release. He's lucky he got only what he did. He must also pay a fine of $500 and a little less than $1,000 in medical bills for the dog. Now, you know how we talked about Morgellons disease way before anybody started talking about this affliction? You know how I've said that the bird flu would not be a pandemic? And so far, where is the bird flu? Now, listen to this one. A rare syndrome that typically strikes during adolescence can keep sufferers asleep for days, sometimes as many as 14 days. It's called Klein-Levin syndrome, a very rare but debilitating disorder. We're going to keep our eyes on this situation. We're going to do some shows on it because it is absolutely bizarre. Can you imagine? You go to sleep for as much as 14 days? Definitely we'll follow up on that. In New Mexico, two police officers have sued Burger King, claiming they were served hamburgers that had been sprinkled with marijuana. The lawsuit says that the two officers in a tribal police section of Isleta Pueblo in New Mexico were in uniform and riding in a marked patrol car when they bought meals at the drive-through lane October 8th of a Burger King. The officers say they ate about half of their burgers before discovering marijuana on the meat. They used a field test to confirm the substance was pot, then went to a hospital for medical evaluations. On the coasttocoastam.com website, under the feature article that Lex has posted, listen to this one. There was an explosion on the sun, 2006, November 6, produced a burst of radio waves so loud that one astronomer said it sounded like a freight train rolling through. The source was an active sunspot, soon to become visible to all of us. In other solar news, go to the website of spaceweather.com and take a look at this. Maybe we got lucky that time. But Britney Spears has filed for divorce from Kevin Federline. The Los Angeles County Superior Court cites irreconcilable differences. Spears is 24. She married the rapper, who's 28, in 2004. They've got a 1-year-old son and an infant son who was born on September 12th. Now, we've got open lines for you, as promised. So here we go. Anything goes. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. Our first-time caller line is open for you right now at 818-501-4721. And the wild card line, who knows what's going to happen there? 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. You know, I've been watching with great interest the Senate race here in Missouri with incumbent Jim Talent running against Claire McCaskill. And for the very first time now tonight, Claire McCaskill has moved ahead. The Democrat has moved ahead of Jim Talent, the Republican, with 80% of the precincts reporting now, 49% to 48%. A couple other candidates have the rest of the percent, but this is a trend now that could very well put Claire McCaskill in the Senate. And another switch toward the Democrats. Talent was leading all night long, but most of the major votes from St. Louis City and County had not come in where they were expecting McCaskill to get the majority vote, and it appears that that could be happening now. I'm going to monitor that situation tonight because it, too, has ramifications for the rest of the country. And we'll just continue to update you on the election results this hour. And as I mentioned, next hour, all alternative programming, intuitive psychic Joseph Jacobs joins us. We're going to talk about his past predictions and future predictions, and we'll get you in on the mix as well. Let's go to the phones. First-time caller line, you're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi.
How are you? I'm great. Where are you, and what's your name?
I'm in South Mississippi. I'm about 15 miles above the first town in Louisiana, going south.
Okay, and who are you?
And I'm Caroline Early. All right, Caroline Early. Mm-hmm.
Thanks. And what's on your mind?
I wanted to talk with you about an out-of-body, I call it that, experience that I had many years ago. I was expecting my first child. I was sleeping. And then I was looking down at myself and thought how strange that was. But then I went through the ceiling out into the sky, and looking down over the city of New Orleans, I went over the harbor in the ship channel, and I saw ships, and I felt warm night air and smelled the breezes and felt the warmth and the dampness. I continued on, and I went out over towards Alabama, and sometime then I came down, and I was in a field. It was dark at night. I was in a field, and there were cows. I couldn't see them, but I could hear them, and I could smell them. And as I walked between them, or however navigated between them, I felt the warmth of their bodies. I was that close to them. And as I continued to make my way through them, I saw lights going across what would have been the direction that I was going in, and the lights were coming in that direction, and then they came to what evidently was a curve in the road, and the car turned as if straight at me. However, I was still a good distance away from it, and as the car approached, the light was in my eyes, the light from both headlights. And at that time, I also could see a house over on my right side, and the car pulled up into the driveway, and then I was on the porch, and then all of a sudden, as the doors opened, I immediately left. I can remember the porch, I can remember the door, I can remember a doorbell. Not ringing, but I saw the doorbell, and whoosh, I went back many, many, many miles to where I was. I felt myself come down in a jolt, and hit me, and I was back in my body again.
My gosh, let me tell you something. What a vivid experience. And I, for a while, Caroline, I was going to say you were having one heck of a dream, but since you described the return back to your body, I think you did have an OBE. I think you were astrally projecting.
Well, I told my mother about it the next day, And she had said that there was a possibility that for a moment there or for some time there, I had actually stopped living and then came back.
Well, that's a that's a possibility, too. You might have, you may have died for a split second, and that would have created that same feeling. And then, of course, the jolt was the fact that you did not die. You were coming back to life, and that's what pulled you back into your body. That's very possible. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there. Good morning.
George?
Oh. Yeah, hi there.
Yeah, let me change the phone. This phone is terrible. How's that? Is that better?
Oh, it was fine. The first one was okay.
Yeah, you're going to have a guest on talking about fate versus...
Self-determination.
Is that like free will?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to throw out my idea, and that there is really, ultimately, no such thing as self-determination.
Why not? How come?
Okay. Now, this is going to really sound wild to you, which is why I'm on the wild card line, I guess.
you
and I mean,
you
somebody told me that, you know, 5 years ago, I would say, yeah, completely out of their mind. Now, if I said to you, George, you will do over the rest of your life, as you know, on a day-to-day basis, as you will react according to life, according to who you are and what life presents to you in the best way that you see possible. You wouldn't see anything weird about that, right?
No, not at all.
No, anybody could say that. Okay, now what we're now I want to throw something else at you. If you're a programmer and you know how to program a computer, once you know what the program is set up to do, you can predict, if any input comes in, what is the outcome. Once you know how it functions, right?
Okay.
Now, I want to present to you that we are more or less programmed individuals, programmed by two things that we have no choice whatsoever on.
And they are?
They are your upbringing, where you were born, to what family you were born into, and the formative years of your life that kind of sets the program.
All right. So you get those cards that are dealt to you there.
Right, right. And then all you do is you deal with life as best you see fit. And as best you see fit comes to you from the circumstances that hit you in life, which you don't make those things as they come along. You just deal with them as best as you can. Or the thoughts that run through your mind. Now, I don't know exactly where I read this, but I read it somewhere, you know, substantial. You're going to have to trust me. But they've discovered recently that the thoughts that occur to you, they're in your mind a split second before you're cognizant of the thought. In other words, they don't know where the thought comes from. So call it the universe, call it God, call it whatever you as like the master programmer. And, you know, the adventure begins. I do the best I can with my life on a day-to-day basis, dealing with whatever life presents me, but I don't worry about tomorrow because I truly believe that your life is like a mural stretched out along a mile-long wall.
Yeah, but I still think we can control some of this.
What's that?
I still think we can control the outcome to most of this.
You have the illusion of that.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I enjoy it. I try and forget what I'm telling you tonight most of the time because that would be a drag if you thought about that all the time. It's more fun just to, you know, get into it. You know, every day I put on the costume of who I am, and I enjoy life. But really, ultimately, I know I'm not the director of this production, nor am I the producer. I'm only the actor. And least of all, am I the character that I portray?
Well, now, wait a minute. What if you, the actor in this production, decided one day to... And what city are you calling from? I never got that from.
Oh, New York. I'm sorry.
Okay, so what happens? You step off a curb on a busy New York intersection, and you get hit by a cab. But you did that on purpose. You decided, I'm going
to
just end it.
Put
I'm
it to
walk
the test.
Out and, it was your decision to do that.
Uh-huh.
And that's part of what I think some of this is, that along the line, you do have a tremendous influence, a role to play here in your own destiny.
Yeah, that it seems that way, but then you have to ask yourself, what drove me to that decision? And were the circumstances that arrive, you know, made me arrive at that very, you know, crazy
spot. Could have been anything. You could have been
decided,
depressed. You could have had some kind of terminal disease, and you decided you didn't want to go through it.
I wanted to end it all.
Yeah, but my point is that you made up your mind to do it. Now, on the other hand, let's assume you're ready to take that dive off the curb. The cabbie was on his way, and somehow a hand reaches from the back and pulls you back to safety. And you turn around, and you can't find anybody. No one's there. Maybe it was an angel. Who knows what?
Was that time you weren't supposed to die?
Was that something stepping in to change or alter?
No, that was something to keep you from defying the script.
I love it. All right, thanks. Appreciate it. Next up, let's go east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Hey, this is William.
Yeah, William.
I'm from Florence.
That's South Carolina.
I'm a retired police officer.
Yes, sir.
And I wanted to tell you about I live in a haunted house.
How long you been in this one?
Oh, 25 years.
You seem to enjoy it if you're there that long.
Well, you know, nothing really bad has happened. I've just had some strange things happen.
Who's haunting the house, William?
I have no idea. But it don't seem to want to cause any harm or anything. Really, they've been more helpful than they've been harmful. And I would like to tell you about at least a couple incidences I've had.
Well, take me one down to the break. Let's go.
Okay. Well, this one's kind of funny. At the time I was living in the house, I lived in the house alone. And this was back in the mid-90s. I had a little dog. I had a little Lhasa Also dog, one of them little Benji-looking dogs.
Oh, yeah. They're cute.
He only stood about 8-9 inches at the shoulder. And he had a pair of pants that he used to play with. It was his toy. He would drag them around the house. He'd sleep on them. He'd chew on them and all that, you know. And one night I was getting ready to go to work. I was working in a graveyard shift, no fun intended. And as I was going down the hallway, he kind of followed me down the hallway, you know, like he always did.
Yeah.
And it was the pair of pants that he used to play with were in the hallway on the floor. Well, as I started to go out the door, my feet kind of got tangled up in them. And I almost fell, and it kind of ticked me off a little bit. And I turned around, and I kicked the pants back at her. And she was, you know, she was sitting down on the floor just looking up at me with her ears perked up, and I kicked the pants toward her. I like, you know, get these out of, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And when I did, I turned back around to go out the door, and the pair of pants hit me in the back. And
well,
I just looked
so you've
back
got a,
at
you've,
her.
You've got a mischievous ghost there, William.
And I looked back at her, and she was sitting on the floor, still sitting where she was, looking dead at me, not making a sound. And I just walked out the back door, and I went on to work. When I got to work, I told the guys on the shift what happened. They told me, you know, hey, man, you're supposed to turn that stuff in, not smoke it.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing, you know. But that was one of the incidences. The other one was after I had gotten married, I had my first child, a little girl. And when she was about 3 months old, she was asleep in the room. We had the crib in our bedroom.
Yeah.
And she was asleep in a crib, and my wife was asleep in the bedroom. I was in the living room watching television. And the bedroom, our bedroom was right off our living room. There's only a door separating it. And I was sitting on the couch, and I was watching TV. I heard three loud knocks come from inside the bedroom on the far side of the wall, just as plain as you could possibly hear it. And I thought somebody was playing around. I got up, and I walked in the bedroom. I cut on the light. I looked. My wife was asleep. And I went to the corner of the room where I thought the knocks came from. I didn't see anything. I didn't know where it came from. So I went back, and I went back in the living room, and I sat down on the couch. No sooner than I had hit that couch, it did it again. Three loud knocks on the far wall. Bang, bang, bang. And I walked back in there, cut the light back on, and I looked, and the baby's arm was caught in the spring of the crib.
Oh, my God.
And I didn't know, and it scared me to death, but I figured whatever it was trying to tell me something.
Yeah, go help that baby. Absolutely. You've got a ghost there that's part of the family. Could be a relative. Who knows? But you know what? Now I know why you haven't moved. Stick around. I'm George Norrie, where you've got open lines for the rest of the hour right here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, at the top of the hour, intuitive psychic Joseph Jacobs joins us. What a great night to have Joseph on the program. So make sure you're part of it. And then we'll take phone calls from you toward the end of tonight's show. The After Dark newsletter comes out every month. It is fantastic. I just got my latest. My editorial this month has to do with my face-to-face meeting with none other than Whitley Strieber. And what a great meeting that was. Well, you can pick up the After Dark newsletter by calling 1-888-727-5505. You can also go online at coasttocoastam.com. But here's something that's just absolutely phenomenal for you. About a year and a half or so ago, we gave out a free CD with an After Dark newsletter subscription. It was called Perfect Possession, an Art Bell interview with the late Father Malachi Martin. It was fantastic. Well, we're going to give that out to you again, but we're also going to give out another one that we found, an old interview with Malachi Martin on demons and exorcisms and things like that. So two CDs and the After Dark newsletter. Call 1-888-727-5505 or go online at coasttocoastam.com. Well, in California, Arnold won his re-election for governor, but the interesting race is the Senate race in Missouri, where Claire McCaskill is creeping ahead now of incumbent Republican Jim Talent. And she's up by some 24,000 votes with only 16% of the precincts left, and most of those precincts will side Democratic with her. You know, I know that just by being in the state so long and talking to a couple pollsters, they predicted the moment it would occur, and at least for now, they're right on the button, because all night long, Jim Talent was ahead, but they said, nah, just wait until those St. Louis County and city votes start rolling in, and they are just starting to come in, and the switch is underway, so that could be another one of those big turning points, and I'm not so sure the Democrats are going to have enough seats to win control of the Senate. That's going to be very close. They need three, and there's only three in play, so they got to take them all. But they have taken control of the House, first time since 1994. That's going to be interesting to see what that means to all of us and the direction of this country over the next 2 years with the Republican George Bush, with a Democrat-controlled House, and then who knows what's going to happen with the Senate. Very fascinating. That's when politics becomes interesting, when it starts to affect us. Let's go to the phones. First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Hello. Where are you calling from?
Alaska.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right. I'm going to address several issues for you.
All right.
All right. Children are way more psychic than adults.
I agree.
Their minds are more open. Now,
yep.
The first lady that I heard was talking about the dream she had when she was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't know if she was astral projecting or an out-of-body experience.
Well, that's the same thing.
No, it's not. Because when you astral project, you have a cosmic tail. And if someone breaks your cosmic tail while you're out of your body, you can't get back in.
Well, that's that silver umbilical cord, we call it, right?
Right. But, I mean, I'm a devout Catholic. I have framed correspondence with Pope John Paul II on my wall. Second of all, the guy that called about his pants, the dog kicking his pants at him towards the front door, that was his first sign. The second sign was the spirit or angel knocking on the wall. Third sign, baby daughter's arm is caught in the crib. He needs to get out of that house.
Why? Well, I think
it's a warning.
The entity was helping him, wasn't it?
The entity is giving him a sign. Why would an entity help him? And direct, and everything the entity is doing right now is saying, get out. I mean, think about it. The parent
are you saying the
towards the front door.
Are you saying the entity wants him out or is warning him to get
him,
out?
To protect him and his family.
Huh. Well, I might understand that a little bit better.
Oh,
let's get back to the OBEs.
Hold on.
Let's get back to the OBEs. I always thought astral projecting and OBEs were the same thing.
No, it's not. An out-of-body experience is something that happens to you when your heart stops.
Without that umbilical cord.
Right, you're dead.
All right.
See, when I was a little kid, I used to fly down the stairs at night. Okay, I used to wake up perched on my brother's dresser. And to this day, I have looked everywhere for somewhere. And I'm college educated, majored in philosophy, all that kind of stuff. And the only thing I can predict now is I can predict when someone's going to die. And I've looked everywhere. There's nowhere you can go. I would love to be able to help find people and all that. But your cosmic tail, if you leave your body when you astral project, some people practice that. They focus on astral projection.
I know that, but I always thought that even in these out-of-body experiences basically death-related, that their cord really hadn't been severed yet.
Well, you can astral project right now from your home if you study that.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with that.
And not be in a hospital and be dead.
Right. I agree with that.
But if someone snaps your cosmic tail while you're astral projecting, you can't get back into your body.
Who in the heck would snap it?
Most people that have near-death experiences are in the hospital.
Well, wait a minute.
Who's heart surgery and that kind of thing.
Who's going to snap your astral tail when you're doing an astral projection?
Well, aren't there other people out there astral projecting?
Yeah, you mean they're going to ram into it or what?
No, but there's good people and there's bad people, right?
Yeah.
And all of the above could practice astral projecting, which is where you can sit down and meditate and do all that kind of thing.
Yeah,
and go
well,
back
that's
to your
still,
body. But if you get an evil person,
so what are they going to do? Snap this
cord?
If they
snap your tail, your cosmic tail, you can't get back into your body, but they can.
And that's how possession occurs?
No, demonic possession is a totally different story. And I believe in all that too. I'm just saying, people need to be careful what they do. And the guy that called about the ghost.
Yeah.
That's when your family, even before my daddy died suddenly and tragically. And even before he died, we used to talk about when you dream about people that are dead, that's how they visit you. And I dream in vivid color. All right. They're in heaven. And when you're in heaven, you can't see anything bad happening on earth to anybody you love. The entity at his house has given him three warnings, and it's a good entity trying to protect him from the bad entity that's saying, get out. I mean, if all of a sudden, your car keys and your clothes are thrown as hard as they can go at your front door, that's a sign.
So you don't think
and
it's
also,
just one entity having a good time?
No, it's a totally separate thing. Before I moved here, the house I lived in before, a lot of very bad things happened in that house, and I mean, the home itself can absorb negative, bad energy. And this is an entity that's trying to warn him.
So if you were him, you'd get out?
I would move. And he's got somebody, he's had three warnings. And every time, the warnings have gotten more scary for him.
So maybe the next one will be even more serious. Thanks. Appreciate you being part of the program. Wildcard Line, your turn. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Take it away.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good.
A few things I want to go over, and the biggest thing is Area 51. We'll talk about that in a couple minutes. Gina's very polite, by the way, and she grew up in West Virginia, probably about 30 minutes away from me. I'm in Beaver County, about 30 minutes away from Pittsburgh. I'd like to reflect on the last caller, and I have trouble understanding an out-of-body experience. There's only one person who probably controls that, and that's the man upstairs. Everybody has their own beliefs and opinions. But when you take your first step, everything's for a reason. Am I correct?
I think people can induce themselves to have OBEs.
I don't think
it's just a man upstairs who allows that to happen. I mean, I guess in theory you may want to say he can control everything. And if that's the case, well, then he controls everything. But I think people are could tune themselves to do it. I've done it once. That's it. But people can do it.
And by the way, your show is so formidable, I must say.
We open up the minds, don't we?
No doubt. It's very positive, like your commercial I heard. And I'm a first-time caller, and it's the wild card line. Why is Area 51 so concealed and secretive?
That's a good question. Well, a couple reasons. Number one, what we know for sure is that the government is conducting a lot of tests and experiments with new aircraft and things like that. There's no doubt about that. That's going on. The other thing is a little more subjective. You know, do they have captured craft? Are they working on reverse engineered technology from alien technology? Do they have extraterrestrial aliens there? Are they being visited on a regular basis? Those are the neat big questions. And you talk to people like Las Vegas anchorman reporter George Knapp, who's been on the program before and has filled in for us. Yeah, those things are going on. So, you know, in perspective of Area 51, all those things that I just mentioned are going on. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. I almost caught you napping there.
No, actually, I just wanted to make sure that I was the next up, George.
It is you, sir.
Good. It's been a number of months. We did speak before, but it's been a number of months. I'm calling in response to, I guess, three or four callers ago that was dealing with the issue of, is everything predestined? Are we pre-programmed? Or is it free will?
Right.
And I could do a number of philosophical arguments about it, but rather than do that, I would like to relay an experience.
All right.
That first, let me get this out of the way. All my old buddies in Pal Talk Chat and Yahoo Chat, yeah, Minsa Corona, how you doing? Now, out of the way. I had to get that out of the way, George.
You had to do it. I understand.
Well, I didn't have to, but I did. Is that predestined or is that free will? But actually, that's not my argument. We're going back to like 1986. I'm at the Marine Corps Logistics Base in Albany, Georgia. I lived about 10 miles off base. I moved off base. And my normal procedure, because military, we have a regular routine. I go to bed at night. And I had been going through an extraordinary amount of stress at that time, and I was thinking, and I am a Christian, and I was thinking that, you know, if I could just stand before Jesus in heaven and say, look, I need these answers. I need to know what's going on, this, this, and this. And that was my very strong desire. Can I use that word? And so I went to sleep, and when I woke up, I was out of my body.
And how do you know you weren't dreaming?
Because I was as awake as I am right now.
All right.
And floating upwards. And I would equate it to something I can't even describe it, actually. It's like it's floating. I was floating upwards. You know, thank God I wasn't floating down, but, you know, I really don't want to go to that place.
Always good to float upwards. Now, how far up upwards? I mean, had you already gone through the house?
And I don't really... I don't really know. Are you still there?
Uh-huh.
Because I'm talking to you over a SatNet link. My landline is dead in the water, so I'm on a computer through a satellite link with you, and so I hope the communication is
you are loud and clear.
5x9 wide. Good. So as I'm floating upwards and thinking to myself over and over and over again, I'm going to see Jesus, there is a being... I would only describe it as a being that is appearing above me and in front and above me. I couldn't really make out the features, but the clothed in white, if you will, white light. And he communicates to me. I don't like to use the word telepathically because I don't think it was coming out of his mind. It was like spirit to spirit. It was like a deeper and a quicker kind of communication, and says to me, you have to go back. And I didn't really know who this was, and so I know now that I made the mistake. I didn't know at the time it was a mistake because I didn't know who this was because they didn't identify who they were. I began to communicate, and here's where this answers the question of the previous three or four callers ago about predestination or free will, or are we all just robots predestined? I was thinking within my being, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. In other words, get out of my way.
Right.
But the thought, when I was out of my body, and I haven't experienced this in my body, but I did that one time out of my body, it began down with, if you point to yourself, you'll find you're pointing to your heart area. Point to yourself, you're pointing to your heart. And that's where communication begins, right there, the center of your being. And I felt the thought forming and coming up from, it's like I saw it, actually, coming up out of my center mass into my mind to form into a cognizant thought to express. And the individual that was standing above me understood it, and I understood that he understood it before I could even get it completely formed. And his response was basically wrong answer, you know. He put his hands on my shoulders, didn't hurt me, it scared the heck out of me, but think about it. He put his hands on my shoulders, and he pushed me downward back into my body. And he didn't hang around to have a cup of coffee with me. He was gone. Or if he was still there, I didn't sense his presence. So what I'm trying to say to you is this. By my understanding, because like three or four callers ago was saying whatever thoughts we have, they were predestined.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that. And the reason I don't agree with that is because by my own experience that I was forming this thought to send to this other being, individual, one of the guardians of heaven's gates, for all I know, or my guardian angel maybe. And his response to that was, you're going back. And when I rebuked him, he literally looked like an atomic bomb going off.
Yeah, he had to force the issue, didn't he?
The energy that came out of this individual, and I will say this, it removed my will. I felt like a wet, limp dish rag.
Okay, but you had free will. That entity just had the ability to overpower you. And what I say and what I think you agree in is that we do have the free will, the ability to control our own destiny. We may not be successful, but it's our choice, aside from getting a bad card in the deck once in a while. East of the Rockies, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you doing tonight?
Good.
Listening to you on TAM 1100.
The monster in Cleveland.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you a couple things. Well, the fish carburetor, the drawings for it, you can still get them, but the fish carburetor isn't interesting to me. I got interested in this quite a few years ago, and so I went and looked for the information.
Do you ever build it or get it?
I come up with a bunch of different information, and far as reproducing a fish carburetor, that would be difficult, but some of these other things. There's three things I want you to know. You talk to a lot of people every night, and you ask these questions. I'd like to answer them for you, and people will call up, I'm sure, after me and say I'm lying, but these are true.
Well, they're not going to do it now because we've got a minute left,
okay.
So you go as fast as you can.
A common automobile can run on water. They can be converted to run on water. A common automobile up to 4,000 pounds can get close to 80 miles per gallon on gasoline. And the U.S. fuel supply could be extended by mixing gasoline with water in a 50-50 mixture.
And several, are you kidding me?
This has been done by several people.
What would we have to change, Charles, to the engine? Anything?
You wouldn't have to alter. Well, now the cars are fuel injected. You would probably would have to alter the fuel injection. But
that's not a big job, is it?
Not for a dealer. This is the problem.
A mechanic.
This is the problem, and these are the answers. The thing is that the government has known for years, when you make a car run 80 miles on a gallon, it doesn't pollute anymore. You don't need emissions checks, and you don't need...
We're at the break, but we've got to get you back on to talk more about this, okay?
Water.
Let's do it. Water it is. Get his number. Let's find out a little bit more about this. You're worth part of being a guest in an alternative energy show. Psychic Joseph Jacobs, he's next, and we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.